We need to sell those tickets, man. I haven't looked recently. I'm too scared.
Three ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous. From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish. The old fashioned way. Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. NBL Pocket Podcast, recording this Wednesday, December 21st at about 1 o'clock on the East Coast. This is going to be a lethargic episode. I'm in bed. Andrew's just out of bed. We didn't want to do this. Not going to lie. It's Christmas. We're busy. We didn't want to do it, but we're going to. What are we talking about? The race for the top six? People that discredited this play-in tournament were wrong. This thing's great. This is the only thing that's keeping this season and this the doldrums of the middle season alive. So we're talking about the top six. We're talking about the Kings and Chase Buford. They keep floundering in the fourth. We're going to find out or try and find out why. Rebuilding the Brisbane Bullets. We've seen this interview with the owner just recently. That didn't give us a lot. So we're going to try and go off our own bat. And then the NBL game of the round. We're keeping this real quick, under 30 minutes. We're basically going to steal that NBL today money. But my name is Joe Corr and I'm joined by Andrew Kanan.
Hello, Joe Corr. Yeah, it is a bit. I've got the croaky morning voice. It's either morning voice or COVID voice. So I'm yet to find out what, but it's been a struggle this morning, hasn't it? Before we get into all the good stuff, though, mate, it's time for me to do the sales pitch.
Oh, dear.
You've heard me talk about this before. You know what it's about. And if you know what it's about and you're going to be in Perth and you haven't bought a ticket, shame on you. Yeah. Absolutely shame on you. We've still got some tickets available. Many have bought them, so we appreciate those people who bought them. But it's a theatre. We got seats. Fill them up, people. The Backlot Theatre in Perth. It's a convenient location, central Perth. Don't give me, oh, I'm north of the river, I can't do it. Oh, I'm south of the river, I can't do it. It's in the middle.
Yeah, come on.
Come
on. It's the creamy middle. This is the nougat, the honey filling.
It's the cream in the Oreo.
Cream. There you go.
There you go. So get there. NBL
Put your tongue
Podcast
on it, people.
Live.
Go.
We're going to watch. Wildcats are now watchable, so we can watch the Wildcats play the Jack Jumpers. After that, we're going to have a podcast. It's going to be me. It might be Joe. I don't know.
Maybe.
Depends if you can get here. Who knows? But it's definitely going to be me. It's going to be the sport blokes. We're going to have Nick Tan, Perth Wildcats super fan. It's all supported by The Hoot, Adam Westerhout, and Full Court Fitness.
Hoot.
Hoot. Hoot. Sunday, 29th of January, 10:30 to 2:30, thereabouts. Depends how much chat we do in the podcast. Is that exactly how long it'll be? You can buy a beer while you watch the game. Come on, people, get into it.
Yeah,
so,
be fun.
nblpocketpodcast.com/live. It takes you to a try booking site. It's all legitimate and above board. $30. $30. Buy it as a Christmas present for somebody.
To watch, yeah,
like
to watch
it.
The Wildcats on a theater screen. I think it'd be kind of fun. If I can be there in Perth, I will be. Just by the by, I'll be in Perth between Boxing Day and the 4th of January. People, get in the deer, tap me on the shoulder. I'll take you for. I'll pay. I don't care. I got money.
No, he won't pay. Buy him a beer. So anyway, nblpocketpodcast.com/live. Buy a ticket. See you at the game. See you at the live podcast event. It's going to be awesome.
It will be fun.
Bucks.
And that, the biggest selling point, biggest selling point is going to be this. And this is what we're going to segue straight into the topic. The race for the sixth, that game between Perth and Jack Jumpers could be critical.
Yeah.
And I'm not overstating that. I mean, can I set the scene for people?
Please, please, fire away.
The play-in's a great idea, and it has been fun. And right now, we've got so the season doesn't end until February 5. We've got so long left. The season needs to come down to 20 games. But anyway, that's another story. But let's look at this. The race for six. Currently, I think the top three are set. I think New Zealand aren't going anywhere. I think Sydney aren't going anywhere. And I think Cairns are okay, kind
of. Yeah, a bit of a stumble, but they're doing okay.
Bit of a stumble bum this week, but they're okay. Here's what I think is interesting. Fourth through eighth. This, I think, is really interesting. SEM are 11-7. They sit fourth. In fifth is Perth, 9-7. Sixth is Tasmania, 8-8. Seventh, Adelaide, 8th and 8th. And Melbourne, bit of a long shot, at eighth. With 8 wins, 11 losses. Cairns are an outside shot to fall, but do you think so? I don't think so, but do you?
No, I think Cairns will do enough. Southeast Melbourne also, who are the next one up.
Well,
they're losing Joe Chi. They've got some injuries again. So I think Cairns will probably be able to hold on to that spot for for the time being.
I just think Cairns are good, and that's why they'll stay. But can I just SEM? So they're not that many games clear. They've played 18. The other teams have played around 16. So they have won those games, I suppose. But here's the case against SEM. You tell me if it's compelling. Okay. No Joe Chi. The likelihood he returns, whenever it's family reasons, that's basically he's signed another contract. Okay, that's the Cam Oliver get out clause. He ain't coming back.
You are not very generous towards the Chinese.
Oh, come on.
To the family.
I know, but I've seen it too many times. I'm snake bitten. Joe Chi, contact me. I'm snake bit. Gary Brown's out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah,
Brokoff.
We saw how bad they were without.
They were dreadful. It means Adnam comes into the starting lineup. Get ready for some Adnam heroics, whether you want them or not. Ryan Brokoff, we saw how well he was playing and how well they were playing with him. He's out 2 weeks. And knowing him, that'll probably be four.
Yep.
All of a sudden, their bench gets really, really, really weak. We're talking Toey Smith-Milner in. There's no one off that bench who could be a starter on another team. Bad look. And I've just got get ready for plenty of Kyle Adnam heroics. And Creek looked very fatigued. He scored a lot, but towards the end of that game, the double overtime in Sydney looked fatigued. Yep. Am I making a compelling case for them to drop out of the six?
You're making a compelling case for them to lose a few games. To drop out of the six? Nah, I don't think so. They've still got some good... They've still got Mitch Creek, who got 45 or whatever it was. They've still got Alan Williams, who's huge. They've still got enough. There's no way this team
should be dropping
out. My problem
is, with Brown out, who's going to get on the ball? Kyle Adnam? Unless it comes off the backboard, they're not getting it. I think there's actually quite a strong case for them. Plus, I've said this before, Southeast Melbourne, bless them, little brother syndrome. They kind of, they're the little engine that could but won't. They've got a loser's mindset. Sorry. I had to say it. They hang around a gate. They let teams come into games. I just don't have faith and confidence in this team like I do in a Sydney or New Zealand.
Okay. That's a fair argument. I'm still well comfortable they'll make the six.
So who's dropping out of these teams? Perth, Tasmania, and Adelaide. These three are really in the hunt. But before we talk about them, Melbourne, any chance they're making it?
Nah.
They're 8-11, they're eighth. You're putting a line through them?
Just too far behind. They're starting to play a bit better.
They are
definitely playing better. But just
too late.
Too late. Too late. Too many losses. And all those losses, so many home games. So they're going to be hitting the road.
They're on the road for the next six games or something. Yeah. But in this NBL 23, is that such a bad thing? All these road teams win. I'll just say this about Melbourne. The one thing, the only bad loss they've had is to Illawarra. All their other losses have come against teams that they conceivably could lose to. Your Perth, Southeast Melbourne, Tasmania, Adelaide, so on and so forth. This roster's good. And really, they've had four major chokes against Southeast Melbourne, Perth, the Blanchfield, Webster, Knox, Tasmania at home. Remember they choked that one up?
Yeah, yep.
And then Adelaide on the road. They had it and blew it up. So when people look at this team, they're going to say, oh, the roster was bad from the beginning. I totally disagree with that. They choked out of four games they should have won. And Vickerman fucked up. And the panic from last season's semifinal against Tasmania has colored this season proper. That's what I think. But you're putting a line through Melbourne.
I am. Yep. Too far behind. Somebody's got to miss out and it's going to be them.
It's going to be them, but they're in eighth. So the question is fifth, sixth, and seventh.
Who's joining?
Who's next? Perth are 9-7, Tasmania 8-8, Adelaide 8-8. Which one of these, these are three quite good teams, are all on the same level. Which one of them is missing out? And make the case for me.
Well, last week I was saying it was Perth that was going to miss out. Mm-hmm. Perth found just look like they might be figuring it out a little bit. So I'm feeling less confident of my pick for Perth. However, Adelaide, who are currently out on percentage, they've still got an import to bring in. And that import is going to be Ian Clark. And he's a good import. He is going to fill that Craig Randall hole magnificently. Guy who can shoot the ball, but actually not be a horrible teammate. So he is just going to slot right in. I really think there's still a tremendous upside potential for the Adelaide 36ers, which gets me to Tassie. They got some good players, Tassie.
They play hard, and I'll say this, they play the Hawks three times in the remaining schedule. Yeah. I haven't looked at the others. I can't comment on strength of schedule for them, but they've got three wins right there.
Yeah. So, and they've got Milton Doyle, who's a game changer. They've got one of their best players at the moment is a DP, Sean McDonald.
Jeez. I know, right?
Incredible, right? So this is the kind of depth they're working with. They got Magne coming back into form. He's starting to look like the old Will Magne.
Mm.
Oh God, this is fun. And any team I pick, I'll be wrong. But I'm going to stick with my prediction last week. I'm going to say Perth miss out because they can't rebound the ball. And they had a lucky win. They beat Cairns, who they seem to match up pretty well on. I'm still saying Perth miss.
It is great. This is the only talking point of consequence for the rest of the year. The fight between these three teams. Southeast Melbourne would have to capitulate to drop out. What I'll say is this. Perth seem to have found something. You're right. They won their first rebounding count of the year, I think. Maybe their second. I'm not sure.
I think it's their first.
36. I think it's their first. There you go. Yeah. By one. And Tayshaun Thomas had 12 of them. He hasn't rebounded over five or six this whole year. Yep. So this is the massive outlier. Tasmania, at the very least, they're never jump off the page, but they have a consistency that I can't look by. To me, they're not missing. It's still between Perth and Adelaide. And it's the question of what promise are you pushing your chips into, right? Are you putting your promise into Perth actually playing tough for the rest of the year when they haven't all year and just got by in toughness over Cairns? Mm-hmm. Adelaide, this is interesting. To me, it boils down to two questions. Are Perth going to get serious? Are Manic, Thomas, and Travers going to get serious about hitting the backboard? You either put your money in that and say Perth are making it. Or for Adelaide, it's this. And there's a lot more contingencies going on, but this is the ultimate lure, this Adelaide team. Johnson got gastro. And I think it was really obvious to me that they found their closing 5/6 players. They went with McCarron, Drimmick, Cleveland, Franks, Harris, and Detch. That was their little lineup through the last fourth quarter, and it looked great. They were getting steals at quarter court for layups. They were, in the presser, Scott Roth and I forget the player were like, "Oh, this was where we dropped the ball." No, I actually thought Adelaide stepped up big time. Drimmick in particular, I thought he was amazing, and Harris was just this sort of bigger body rebounding bang. So they found their 5/6 players. You add Clark to that to probably consume a little bit of the Drimmick Detch minutes. That's a good five. Really good closing 5/6 and Detch, depending on where he's at game to game. The problem is this. CJ Bruton, only second year in coach, super nice guy. It smiles. Everybody's happy. Johnson, 34, 35 years old, has never played defense. At this point, he's a scoring punch in a drought and little else.
Yep.
How does Bruton turn to him and say, "We're only going to play you 10 to 12 minutes a game"? That is the question that is before the 36ers. That's the case. That's what has to happen. Him and Soto can play no more than a combined 15 minutes. Does Bruton have the balls to do it, Kenyon?
Before I say anything more, can I say, ladies and gentlemen, that analysis is why you pay your $5 a month Patreon fee. Because Joseph Court just broke down. Beautiful, beautiful prose. The run home for these teams and what is the difference makers. Well done, mate. That was very well said.
Come on, stop.
That was worth $5. Hell, I'm gonna become a patron just to give you $5. I did do that for a long time,
you're
actually.
You're embarrassing me. Let's go.
So
that's the question. Does Bruton have the balls to pluck those two? Do Perth all of a sudden out of nowhere decide, "Oh, let's grab rebounds"? Where are you going?
I'm going with Bruton. Bruton is the ultimate sort of player's coach, right? He is so cool, so chill. He'll get DJ to buy into what needs to happen. He'll explain it well. He'll put the arm around the shoulder and he'll get DJ bought in on this plan. I back CJ Bruton and his personality ahead of the ability of the Perth Wildcats to rebound the ball consistently. So I'm going to say Adelaide.
I agree. I thought they looked so good against Tasmania in the fourth quarter. They totally held the game. They had it. And I think DJ can hopefully see the writing on the wall. He's 34, 35. You know,
there's
have
no
to
shame
transition.
In it. No shame at all.
No shame at all.
Times shooting 100.
So I will be watching his minutes like a hawk to see if Bruton's got the balls. So we are both in agreement. Perth dropping out. Hard to go against Cotton, but not hard to go against Travers, Thomas, and Manic not rebounding the ball.
Yeah.
And Blanchfield. So I'm all there.
Can I just, you mentioned the name that should not be mentioned. Todd Benchfield, Todd Blackfield.
Blah.
Field. The guy does just enough to kick.
Warefield. David Warefield.
Just enough to think, oh, maybe he's got potential. Maybe he's still here. Maybe he's still alive in this league. And he hit that game winner basically against Melbourne. He had the big blow up game against Cairns earlier in the season. Just enough to keep Corey Sherville out of the rotation.
Corey Sherville, what has happened? This guy used to get a good 10, 15 minutes, solid minutes under Gleeson. Now he can't. Yep. Has he hit the floor? Has he played a minute?
Oh, I think he has. I think he has played a couple of minutes.
Is he busted up? Is he hurt? What's going on? This kid showed promise.
I don't know. I mean, he's not very athletic, but neither is Todd Blanchfield. So there is that. The thing I noticed was the Wildcats looked better when they got Harris on the floor, and they had some youth and exuberance and some athleticism. So if, give him the Blanchfield minutes for sure. Todd Blanchfield. This is where the Wildcats, their bench is terrible, really.
Yes.
So, and he's heading out. Another reason why they won't make the playoffs.
Wow. It's a great storyline to watch. And hey, that, I'm not kidding when I say that Perth Tasmania game that we're selling live tickets to watch in the theater could be critical for both teams. So there you go. The Kings, let's move on. They keep floundering in the fourth. Why?
They don't really know what they're doing, do they? They go away from whatever seems to be winning for them. Successful for them.
Why did they do that? I have an answer.
Okay, tell me your answer.
Chet. Chet, I've got a nice alliteration here. Chet seems more interested in coaxing the camera and contesting calls than addressing what's necessary.
Okay, and for people who are wondering, Chet, who's Chet?
Chet is Chase Buford.
Because
he sounds like a character out of Chase. Is such an American name. It's something that Animal House, I think it was what we...
Yeah, that's right. He's got to be... He's wearing the Lacoste shirt with the popped collar. Yeah.
Giving the new guy a hard time.
Yeah.
He's got an inline to the Dean, you know. And we saw it where the bad call happened. He explodes and Lish and him, they're trying to work out that the focus is on Buford. It's not on the team. And this is a problem with Sydney. Not that it was much of a problem last year, but a lot of the focus of this team is their owners and their coaches, and the players kind of fall, you know, a distant second, maybe even third. But what do you think?
I've long asked for this to be a personality driven league. I think we need to know more about the people who are playing the game. Mm-hmm. You want to know the ins and outs of the people playing the game. To be perfectly honest, I don't really care a lot about the ins and outs of the coach. I don't care about the ins and outs of the owners. I just want to know, like, more, give me more detail on the players, right? And the focus of the Sydney Kings team is about Chet having temper tantrums and being in anger management classes, which clearly aren't working. Kevin Lish, hold me back. and you've got an owner who just loves the opportunity to be joined the huddle, the hugs and kisses when a game-winning shot goes down.
Can I just highlight? And Nick Tan, he'll be at the live screening. Buy your tickets now. Nick Tan had the tweet of the week.
Tweets. Tweets. Tweets.
Bruce, I think, missed the game winner. Anyway, they lost in the overtime because none of the Kings could hit the big shot to make it. Yep. And Nick Tan had the tweet where it's like, well, why would any of the Kings bother hitting the game winning shot when you can't run into the arms of your owner? And I love the tweet. That's an NBL Pocket Podcast tweet of the month. Maybe even tweet of the season. We'll see how that goes. Loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Man, I wish you'd put that on Mastodon.
For people that don't know, this guy's got some silent protest against Twitter. He's jumped over to this absolute rinky-dink Twitter second-rate Mastodon. Anyway, never mind. That's why the ticket sales for this live thing are bad. You know you're coming back to Twitter to sell those. You know you're coming back, you cuck. So the Kings, that's my thought. But also Cooks wasn't healthy. Played 8 minutes.
True.
They're not going to be as good with him. Full stop.
True, they're not. And look, the Kings are still top of the tree. They've got nothing really to worry about at this point.
No,
but
they're fine.
It's just frustrating when you see like the carry on of a coach like that. Like, Chet.
It was funny.
Chet, chill out.
Chet, chill. Agreed. But no, they're a good team. And I mean, it's a worry that they do just flounder, that they go away from what's, there's no fortitude. It's what they need into the fourth. And hopefully they find it, because they are a good team. You know who would have helped them is Ian Clark. But anyway, rebuilding the Bullets. Let's jump onto this. Talking about one ownership group and coaching struggle. Well, this is even bigger and badder. Brisbane. We talked about them last week. Did you see the interview with Jason Levian on the huddle?
I have not yet.
Subscribe
it's,
now.
It's in the queue. There's so only watched many, the many NBL podcasts.
Whew, I only watched the little 5 minute bit, and that was enough. The huddle is a good show. Liam does a good job. I can't watch this. I don't want to see that sort of psychobabble bullshit.
I read the article, so I'm sure I read all the quotes that came out of it. Anyway,
oh, sure.
So,
what did you take from it?
It sounds a bit piss weak, really. Talk about owners not having a profile. Well, you know, they don't have a profile. Now they're saying, oh, we want a profile. And, you know, it's like they're basically throwing all their management under a bus. You know, we took a step away, intentionally stayed silent and let the management do it. And now it's all gone to
Did shit. They highlight what went wrong? What did they say went wrong? Was this we recruited the wrong players? Did they identify a problem?
From the article that I read, I don't recall seeing anything like that. It was more a case of we were hands off. We didn't do anything. We let the management take care of it, and now it's not working so well.
And when they say take care of it, like highlight, sign players,
run developers, players. Totally, yeah. Like we as owners provided the capital, and we let the management team get on with it, and we're basically silent owners. This seemed to be the vibe. And now they're saying, oh, yeah, sorry, we realize it's all gone horrible. And now we'll step in and we'll save the day because we've got money. And, geez, doesn't that tend to work out well? People with money, they can just come in and save the day. Look at Elon Musk. He just saved the day with Twitter, came in with lots of money. You can always trust the guys with money. They know have all the answers, don't they?
Well, I mean, it really begs the broader question of how do you make an NBL team sustainable and beyond sustainable successful? And to me, I see a really, really quite a basic blueprint that works. What do you think? I'll tell you mine in a second. But
well, it's community built. It's community led.
Yeah.
You need to get the local people feeling like they're a part of the team. And you do that with the meat and potatoes, school visits, community days, getting out there. That is the rest.
This is not a posh league. It pretends it's second best league, NBA. On paper, this is a lot of these teams have champagne taste on a beer budget, and maybe not even beer, maybe varnish with milk in it. I mean, I'm not seeing it. And they don't do these simple steps. And to hear an American voice talking about Brisbane, and I'm sure he's a nice guy enough, but it's like, wow, this is top down stuff. It needs to be real hands in the mud, and that should be fun, going to schools and hey, how you doing? And you know, you speak to 100 kids, and if 10 of them go, oh, this is great, I'm going to get my parents to go. That's 40 tickets right there. Nissan Arena holds how many?
5,000.
5,000. So you do that a couple of times and you're there. Then you go to make sure your basketball academies are good. You get a couple of local kids coming through. I'd always use my DP spot to sign a local kid who's good and worthy, obviously.
Yep.
And then, you know, build a good team. I mean, and then it shouldn't be that hard to build something winning consistent. To me, the biggest problem was Will Magne. They had a local kid who was good.
Yep.
And they betrayed him.
Yep.
What badly. And this is not, that was not a choice that they, we just gave it to management. That is something that was obvious to your man walking the street, and they screwed it up, and he could have been there. But I want to talk about the other thing as well. So looking at it, the Bullets under contract have three players for next season, just three. Okay. Sobey, Baines, and then DJ Mitchell, who's a team option.
Okay.
I've also just heard rumors that last year this team lost between $2 and $4 million. So even if you're letting management run it, signing off of those checks must be harsh. And that was for a losing season. So I'm going to go through their players who are coming off contract and tell me whether you'd bring them back. Harry Froehlich?
Nah.
Harrison?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. Kadee?
Maybe in a really limited bench role.
Agreed.
For low money.
Tyler Johnson?
Nah.
I've got Digboo here. Is he on the team?
No, he left.
Pardon me. Statman?
Who knows? Like,
I don't know who this guy is.
All I know is that whenever I hear his name, I always say to myself, I'm a Statman,
That's probably not good. Gak had 8 turnovers the other day.
Probably not. He's huge, Krebs. But you know, Krebs got you probably bring him back because he's the local guy you mentioned. But
yeah,
God, he's up and down.
Andrew White. I don't know who these players are. He could be on the team. Maybe I've made that up. I don't know.
Sure.
But here's the problem. Yep. Sobey, now this is now year two of two bad years for Sobey.
Yeah, I'm out on Sobey.
Really bad. You're pulling the plug.
I'm just saying it right now. You don't even need to go through it, Joe. I'm out on him.
Oh, wow. And then Baines. So they've got 2 years where two guys are half speed. The problem was they built expectation. Yeah. They got you. They got you, hook, line, sinker.
I know. I'm just a tad bitter as well.
And that's the problem. They built in this expectation and now it's bred bitterness.
And I didn't buy season tickets, you know?
And they just pumped it. We're going to be great. Oh, Baines. I mean, he's rehabbing and he's only going to play 25 minutes and he just wants to get back to the NBA and spend time with his kids. But oh, we're going to be great. We're going to be brilliant. It's just they overpromise and they underdeliver. Do the opposite. And they didn't at all rein in people writing about him, but that was a problem. This is an interesting thing where, I see this question. They obviously fed into the machine. They were like, oh, great, we're selling tickets. People think we're going to be good. But then also the media kind of hyped up this team when I thought this was total fool's gold. Total fool's gold. And now they've bred this expectation and they're crushed under the weight of it. Do people who, I hate to say it, but like yourself, who thought this team was going to be really good, are they to blame for what's now happening? Sort of.
No, I don't know. No. That's probably drawing a long bow. I don't know. I think sometimes it's not even about the players. It's about the organization. They can't manage their way out of a paper bag. And I think it's just flowing through to everywhere. Like, and do they even have a major sponsor? They've got that St. Genevieve. I don't even know what St. Genevieve is.
Nissan? Sounds like Tire Power?
They might do. St. Genevieve sounds like a retirement home, so I don't really understand what that's all about. It's very localized sponsorship. But if you're a company looking to sponsor a team, and you're like, well, the results aren't on the board, but they've got the community behind them, you know,
yeah, that's fine.
Money your way. But you're looking at this, and you're a responsible organization with money, sponsorship money to throw around. You can give that to anybody.
Anybody. Are you gonna or anything.
Are you going to look at the Brisbane Bullets and go, now there's a company I trust to give a few hundred thousand dollars to and have my logo on that uniform? No way. I would not want to be associated with this team at all if I was a business owner at the moment. Like, get my name away from that basket case. So this poor mismanagement, it just has ongoing ramifications. And that hurts them more. You've got to build a solid core. You've got to build a foundation. And they're not doing that with the nuts and bolts of running a company. So
I mean, that's the problem. They're just bad business, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
I think the problem is I don't know what they've spent on Baines. I've heard rumors it's up in the deli money anywhere around the sort of 800, 900K mark, which is just absurd to me.
Yeah.
Ownership, I think they, because it's McKinnon and it's guys around basketball and the thimble that is the social setting, they didn't have the balls to go, Baines, we know you're coming back here to rehab. We know Brisbane is your option because you want to be in this area. It's where you're from.
Yeah,
we're not going to pay you like some guy we're recruiting. You're recruiting us. You want us for lifestyle. And this contract, we think, reflects that. And it should be a lot less. They got bullied by Baines. They felt they had to have him and they felt they had to pay overs for him. When really, he was coming back here to rehab. You could have got him at half price, probably. I don't know. It's hard to tell with this sort of stuff. But yeah. What do they do about Sobey? Two bad years in a row. I think we've seen the limit of a Sobey team.
Yeah. I think we saw the best of Sobey, two or three years ago?
Three years ago, 21 points per game, 46 points.
He's not going to be better than that. He's never going to be that good again.
No, 32, 33. You wouldn't have thought so.
So I think it's time to either totally minimize his deal or move on. And I would prefer, if I was Bruce, I'd move on. I would actually go, right, this is a new Brisbane. This is a totally new team. We recognize all our faults. We are starting over again. And it would be the full rebrand, right? It's like, I think they've already done this once, but you get the new logo, you get the new color scheme. They came back into the league with Burgundy, and then they went to blue. You know, like, they've done this before. They need to do it again.
Yeah. and get and do what get some imports that play. Get some imports that play and play well. And I think they'll have to do another year of Sobey. They can't get off his deal. He's there. But yeah, certainly Hemridge, I think Kadee, depending on what he wants to do. But again, like, these guys have built lifestyle and you've got to exploit it and say, listen, we know you want to stay in Brisbane. Help us help you. We're going to give you a good lifestyle. Yeah, what's that worth to you? Yeah. But I think Sobey, it's over.
And there's two other real quick points I just want to say about the Brisbane Bulls, to highlight their ineptitude. Okay, so the coaching merry-go-round we know about. Then they were going to bring in this other guy, who now this other guy seems to have bailed on them. So it's like, what the hell is going on there?
Where did you read that?
I think it was a news story. It might have been Matt Logue writing for wherever he writes. I read it in Apple News. They're basically saying, so the coach that they were going to bring in has now ghosted them. So now Van der Jack seems to be on there for the longer term. And also, they're talking about the stadium. This is when the ownership seems like a pack of real grifters, because it seems like they're just pushing for state government to build them a new stadium, right? Oh, yeah, 2032 Commonwealth Games or Olympics or whatever the hell's going on up there in 10 years' time.
Yeah, it's Commonwealth Games. I don't know.
Who cares? See, this is the point. Like, this, the Commonwealth Games or the Olympics ain't what it used to be, if I kind of remember where it is in 10 years' time. Is it in Australia? I have no idea. I don't care. It's corrupt, right? So if they're waiting for that to get their new stadium for 10 years' time, I'm sorry, that you need better planning than that.
That's a decade away. No. That's and Nissan Arena. I mean, but the bigger problem is, how can a team be successful when their stadium holds 5,000 and you're up against Perth that has 10,000 routinely, Melbourne that 7,000, you're close enough to 10. You're always operating at half the budget. You've got to be really clever. And I feel bad.
They're a capital city team that looks like a regional team.
Totally. Yeah. But then operate like a regional team. And the idea that get three imports that dominate and then grifting locals around them. That's what regional teams have to do. It's what Illawarra have started to do, and they look okay.
That's what Brisbane have to do, because the locals know the story and don't want to go play there.
Exactly.
And imports will come if they're throwing a bucket load of money. They'll do anything, right? Yeah. So that's what it goes back to first principles. Until you change the way you manage the organization, your story is going to remain the same.
And get good people who are boots on the ground. You have to have boots on the ground in this industry, in all industries, really. And they don't have boots on the ground. There's all these outside investments and guys just, it's such a hobby. Bit of hobby money that people throw in to get under a tax bracket. I don't know what's going on, but it's not a good look.
And if Tanya, NBL Pocket Podcast Tanya,
mm-hmm.
who's a Brisbane loyalist, friend of the show, if she has any insights or comments on the Brisbane Bullets, we would love to hear them. I think she seems to know what's going on around there. I invite comment from Tanya. You know who you are. Let us know.
That's right. Tanya and others, jump on the Patreon. Jump in the Discord. It's in the link in the description. And Twitter and Mastodon. You'll find the link somewhere. Let's get out of here with the NBL Game of the Round, NBL Pocket Podcast Game of the Round. I've got one with a sort of 1 and 1B isolated. You tell me if you've got the same Game of the Round. We'll quickly talk about it. Christmas Eve for me, December 24th, 5:30 p.m. on the East Coast. Adelaide hosts Southeast Melbourne. That's the game I'm going to be watching closely for the things we noted before. Also because that's a good matchup. Is that your Game of the Round?
I'm just trying to find out the new NBL website, find the actual schedule. So bring it up.
Well, while you do that, I think Adelaide win this one. They're at home. They've found some strength. They're going to have Clark. But again, DJ and here's my guarantee to the people. If DJ and Soto play an combined under 50 minutes, Adelaide, put a lock on it. It's my shoe-in of the week. I think they're going to win. I think Southeast Melbourne have got a couple of injuries. I worry about Southeast Melbourne. I think they could drop out of the six, Southeast Melbourne. I really do. And I think if they're going to do it, it starts with this one. But we're going to see if Bruton's got balls.
Oh, I like that. That's marketable. All right. Well, I also think that's an excellent game to choose for Game of the Week. And I think that can be the nominated NBL Pocket Podcast Game of the Week. But I'm also going to give you something to do on the Boxing Day. You'll be sitting around bored, maybe hungover. Tasmania Jack Jumpers, New Zealand Breakers.
Oh, hang on. That's Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, sorry. Pardon me. Sorry. Sorry.
You all right?
No, but keep going. I fucked up.
Tasmania, New Zealand Breakers. You would
good game.
That would be a good game. Tasmania need to win. New Zealand looking a bit more vulnerable than they did earlier in the season. Tasmania really will be desperate to win that to maintain that separation. So where's watch out for that one. That's at My State Bank Arena in Tasmania.
Ooh, that's so interesting. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah, fun game. And notably, neither of us mentioned the big Christmas Day match.
Well, I was about to. I was about to pat them on the head for that. They campaigned for that pretty hard. Not many people were calling for something on Christmas. I'll definitely take in the fourth quarter of this one. Sydney and Melbourne, Christmas Day. I'll ask a question. Do the Kings choke that game away? Melbourne playing pretty well. It's a short trip up to Sydney. Cooks is iffy. Sydney or Melbourne, who wins and why?
Cooks is out, hey?
He's iffy. They say he could. The doubt is enough for me to cast my vote, but what do you think?
I'm going to say Melbourne.
Same. I think if Cooks is iffy for the game, I think Melbourne are playing pretty well. Illawarra are kind of their soft spot. Yeah. I think Melbourne look good. And if Cooks is even iffy, they're going to fade out in the fourth.
I like Lee. I like what he's bringing to this team. And I think this is the kind of game that Chris Golden gets up for.
Totally. Totally. And I just like the less Humphreys minutes, the more Lee minutes, the better. And this is the funny thing about the NBL, sports, work, maybe even life. DJ gets gastro, Adelaide show a winning pedigree. Humphreys comes back from COVID. I was quite critical of him as well. And I was like, oh, COVID, he's probably ailing from that. But, you know, when you're not in the office and someone takes your spot, namely Marcus Lee, they look so much better. And I'll be very interested to see who's in the starting lineup on Christmas is what I'm saying for Melbourne. I think it could be Lee.
There we go.
There you go.
Don't get sick. Somebody will take your job.
It's doggy dog out there. And anyway, we're last to the bowl. This podcast is terrible. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. And we've brought it in hopefully under time. Joseph here, Andrew there. Enjoy the games. And we'll try and record something over Christmas. We'll see how we go. Probably not. But the live show, Patreon. Thanks for listening. Andrew?
Do you give me the last word? You always give me the last word.
Okay. Absolutely.
Okay, I've got a good one this time.
Oh, seriously?
See if I can pull it out. Ho, 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 ho. Merry Christmas.